Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we do get into a little bit of what's going on over in the consumer economy. And this is, you know, something that is, ongoing. We tend to check in on the FNBBER Consumer Confidence Index, every once in a while just to see what's going on. And it seems that, one of the recurring themes of this year is the fact that we keep having this slide this slide in consumer confidence, and it's actually quite a dire situation that's there. So for today to just give us some of the latest, because we hear that things have dropped to what some would consider to be all-time lows, we are joined by Mamelo Matikinta Ngwenya, who is FNB's chief economist, to give us a breakdown of what's going on. Mamelo, greetings to you today.
Hello, Mudiwa, and to all the listeners.
No. Thank you so much for being with us today. I think, before we just dive into the actual results, themselves, it might help just to set a baseline to understand, when we talk about the FNBBER Consumer Confidence Index, what is it exactly that we are trying to gauge, when we talk about consumer confidence, and how do you guys actually arrive at the numbers that you do?
Thanks, Mudiwa. So this index is quite important to help us gauge how confident consumers, or how concerned are they about their future. So they may be worried about things like job security or pay raises and bonus. And obviously, this frame of mind tends to give us an indication of how much consumers are going to spend on basic necessities to free up income for debt repayments. So if confidence is high, consumers tend to incur more debt. They tend to spend a little bit more on discretionary items such as furniture, motor vehicles, clothing, and so on. And sometimes these items are obviously financed by credit. But if confidence is low, it then generally means that, consumers will probably delay their purchases without, incurring an immediate deterioration in living conditions.
Now, just given, the background that you've given to us, it seems that, with the latest one, consumer sentiment, has actually dipped to its lowest level in more than three decades for the second quarter of, 2022. What's actually happening here? I think we hear of the perennial issues now about inflation. We keep hearing about, all of these other things. What are the constituents that are actually driving, some of the sentiment lower at the moment?
So I think maybe if we look at the time that the index was conducted, or the survey was conducted, it was conducted between the 6th and the 20th of June 2022. And during that time, I think there was clear indication that inflationary pressures are definitely building up on the back of this geopolitical climate that we find ourselves in, that has ultimately meant that the cost of living has increased quite significantly in the form of rising food prices and rising fuel inflation. I mean, I think if we look at from the beginning of the year until now, the petrol price have soared by around 4.60 per litre. So that's nearly 25%. And we're seeing that, inflation, as I mentioned, for basic items, for food, is accelerating quite significantly. So of course, consumers are bearing the brunt of that. And on top of that, we've seen that there was just a non-payment of 350 per month social relief of distress grant to around 10.6 million South Africans in April and May. So all of these items would have dampened confidence more, especially for your low-income earners. So I think if we look at how much money your low-income earning segment puts towards purchasing things like food, 50% of the income goes towards our food purchases, and their inflation rate, of course, is much higher than the aggregate inflation rate. And if you look at your middle to your higher income bracket, of course, they also experience a high inflation, but those that are exposed to credit have also experienced interest rates that are increasing. So if we take all of these, variables into consideration, it is not surprising that consumers are feeling a little bit less optimistic about the state of the economy.
Mamelo, one of the things that, you know, really does seem to be apparent from everything that you're saying, I remember we had this conversation, you know, just a few months ago, you know, back in March, and we were talking a lot of the same language at the time. You know, we were talking about it then. And at the time, one of the big things that we did speak about, if I remember correctly, was what type of assistance can be brought in, you know, either from public sector or private sector, etc. At the moment, you know, just given everything that's going on, I want to first look at it on a consumer level, you know, highlighting some of those lower income groups that you've just spoken about right now, to say, you know, what can people actually do? Because it really does seem as if we might even be having the same conversation in the next 3 months about the third quarter as well. You know, when we talk about that, and also, you know, when I say what can consumers do, I'm just thinking about the fact that there's erosion of savings, if anyone is able to save even in this environment.
Sure. So I think, you know, if we look at some of the factors that we've highlighted, and I think you correctly point out in your statement as well, that are contributing to low consumer confidence, inflation, we only expecting that to peak around October this year. So in the coming months, of course, that's going to be a pressure point for consumers. And in response to rising inflation, the South will probably, you know, hike somewhat more aggressively in the coming meetings. So when I say more aggressively, around 50 basis points. And of course, they will assess the second round effects. And ultimately, that will inform how they then proceed with interest rate increases for the remainder of the year. So I think, you know, your low-income households obviously will continue to bear the brunt of rising food prices, but we've seen that the government has given a little bit of relief in the form of, you know, on the petrol price. But I think, you know, with rising interest rates, there is obviously an opportunity. So for those that are fortunate enough to be able to save, the rising interest rate environment enables them to gain a bit more interest on those saving accounts. And for those that are not saving and are paying back credit, of course, the rising interest rate environment also just puts that additional strain on them. But I think if you look at interest rates, where they will probably land at the end of the year relative to where they were before the pandemic, we still expect them to be slightly lower than where we were in 2019 coming into the crisis. But what's been interesting, Udo, is that even though we're seeing consumers feeling a little bit more worried about you know, the economic outlook and the, you know, household finances, high frequency data that's been released by StatsSA, such as retail sales data, suggests that there's still some relative resilience, I guess, in consumer spending. So while this confidence is a good indicator of what to expect in the future, we're not seeing as yet that immediate shift in consumer spending. So while consumers are very, very concerned, they're feeling less optimistic about the future, they haven't necessarily paid back their spending as significantly as the confidence index may suggest. So I think another thing that we wait to get a bit more information around is, of course, wage settlements, because we know that companies, when they go into these wage negotiations, they're obviously cognizant of rising inflation, and they will try to ensure that increases are not significantly below average inflation. So this is not to say that obviously this is a solve, but I do think that in the coming months, we are likely to see some of these actually probably helping the consumer a little bit.
One of the things I'm quite curious about, Mamelo, you know, with everything that we're talking about the pressures on consumer pockets. We're also talking about, you know, where you guys expect inflation to peak, you know, later on this year, and how the Reserve Bank could possibly, you know, come to the aid of people and all. And at the moment, you're talking about how a lot of the spending habits haven't necessarily changed. But on that, you know, just to drill down before we end off, is to say, do you anticipate that we will see, you know, some of those pattern changes in consumer spending? Because sometimes usually people end up doing substitutions, you know, higher value goods for maybe more affordable options, cheaper goods, etc. I remember we had a conversation on this platform a few weeks ago with some of the meat producers, and they were talking about how consumers are substituting, you know, beef, you know, for chicken, pork, etc. Those types of things I understand, but when you see such price pressures on your basic goods, you know, the things that people can't do without, do we necessarily end up seeing that shift in consumer spending, or do people just keep spending on those same things and it becomes this, I don't know how else to describe it, but this unending cycle, you know, of pushing prices because the same goods continue to have pressure and demand on them?
So I think that substitution effect is almost natural. I think if we look at the CPI numbers, we already started to see that change in behavior in other goods within the inflation basket, where consumers are looking for value elsewhere in order to be able to attain, I think, a certain, I wouldn't say lifestyle, but you're consuming goods that don't deviate too far from what you would ordinarily buy. So that shift, I think, is a natural shift. But I think another thing to take into account, especially if we're talking about your, I would say, non-essential items, is that supply shortages have also entailed that people delay their purchasing plans. So if you are looking to buy, let's say, for example, a new car, supply shortages or issues around the ports because of riots and so on have essentially meant that that purchase that you would have made probably a couple of months back gets pushed forward. So these are just some of these dynamics that we need to be aware of. So obviously your low income households will see that substitution happening quite a bit in the food basket. But if we look at the inflation basket broadly, you know, if we look at items like spending on equipment or household equipment, for example, we're starting to see a bit of pricing pressure come through in that component, which historically, I think, has been in very low inflation, if not deflation. So we're starting to see parts of that come through in the retail sales numbers as well, which suggests that obviously there's been changes in how we function, and we're no longer working in the office as often, we're working at home. So the replacement cycle of items such as a kettle, for example, has increased. So consumers are now obviously in a position where you're working from home, you need this item. That replacement cycle has changed. And we're seeing, I think, some of that change in behavior coming through in the inflation numbers. And of course, this vehicle price inflation story is also coming through because there is that demand. And that's a function of, supply that has been hampered by, the pandemic, supply chain issues, and that spending coming through later on, and pricing pressure in those components are expected to mount in the coming months, and that will affect more your middle to high income households. So it's quite interesting dynamic when one looks at, I think, the full spectrum of the consumer.
So that's been it, you know, very, you know, I would say a sombering, you know, type of discussion with Mamelo, giving us some insight into the latest reading of the FNBBER Consumer Confidence Index, you know, just talking about all the pressures that that consumers continue to face, and that sentiment is at a three-decade low, and, you know, just how all of that is now translating into the real economy. Particularly around, you know, the spending habits of consumers, how all of that then fits into the inflation pressures we keep talking about. How is the government going to respond? How is the central bank going to respond to all that? And then on top of everything, you know, also just showing us that consumer confidence is probably one, you know, piece of data that we can, you know, keep an eye on. There are other aspects that we also need to highlight, your retail sales and the like, you know, to get a fuller picture of what's going on. But what is, you know, quite clear is the fact that, you know, a lot of the pressures that people are feeling at the moment don't seem to be abating, you know, anytime soon, at least not in the next couple of months. And that, you know, the next time we talk to Mamelo, we might actually be having a similar conversation, you know, albeit, you know, with a different set of numbers. So that's been it, Mamelo. Thank you so much. She is the chief economist over at FNB South Africa. Mamelo, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having
me. This is Mudiwa's Take.
The economy, you know, continues to be very tough, you know, on a lot of consumers. You know, at the moment, that doesn't seem to be, you know, news of any kind. But going forward, what's going to be interesting to watch is how various, you know, parts of the, I'd say the economy, because you've got your consumers, you've got government, and you've got the private sector as, you know, this sort of tripartite alliance that, you know, carries the economy. And one wonders the other two, you know, that's your government, that's your public sector. That's a conversation we had with Mamelo last time, to say how much wiggle room do either of these parties actually have to help consumers out there. Right now, we just heard, you know, it's Monday, we're recording on the 4th of July, you know, 2022, and we've just got news now that the Department of Mineral Resources has just announced a new price increase, you know, that's going to see, you know, fuel at the lowest level, that's your 93 coming in at above that 25 Rand mark. So imagine what's going to be happening with the price of diesel and the price of 95, right? And, you know, just to add to the pressures that consumers have, that's the first thing. Second thing is the fact that we've got this ongoing load shedding at the moment. And at the moment, we tend to kid about it sometimes, but we are all going to end up becoming independent power producers or IPPs of some kind, because people still need to do basic things at their house. People still need to cook. People still need to just have lights on at home. People still need to charge phones, you know, devices, that type of thing. You start seeing demand rising for your, you know, simple things, your power banks, your generators, your inverters, your uninterrupted power supply systems for computers and the like. Especially if you're working from home, then you're definitely thinking about investing in that type of thing. And all of that is, you know, on top of, you know, what we're talking about right now. And it sort of shows once again, an economy is a cycle. Nothing ever works in isolation, right? One thing always leads to another. The fact that Eskom is, you know, having the issues that it's having, you know, doesn't just affect them alone. It affects everyone in the economy, and it puts pricing pressures on the rest of the economy, because what's going to naturally happen is that the demand for your rechargeable lights, your solar panels, all of these, you know, alternative power products, your lighting, etc., there's going to be increased demand for some of those things. And some of those things are, you know, components are being taken from the rest of the world. You're bringing in your shipment costs. All of that stuff adds up, right? And we might start seeing price pressures on those goods. So once again, this virtuous cycle that we keep talking about, how far is it going to go? We wait to see, but for now, we just hope that some relief will be coming for consumers down the line. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.